Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the country relative to other cities in how much public art exists and how much free art exists. I think that's the critical point here. You know, it's not, you know, associated with luxury, or, you know, anyone can come and see it. And I think that that is something I've grown up around, and that ethos is something that I've always believed in. So, I mean, I'm hoping that there will be this shift where other people recognize how important it is.
I think art is a form of expression for an artist. It is so personal, it's inspiring, thought-provoking. It's like a language in itself that can be interpreted in so many different ways, and I believe can change lives. I am so in awe of all the artists that I have chatted with in this series, and I have personally learned and gained so much from each conversation, and I hope you do the same. So happy listening. Hi everyone, today I'm in conversation with Aashti Miller. Aashti is a super talented architect, and she also says that she's an architect by day, but an illustrator by night. And she's also the sole force behind Miller Inc., which is a graphic design and illustration studio. So thank you so much for joining me, Aashti. I do appreciate, you know, the fact that you've just come back from a trip. And as you were saying to me before the conversation started, it was a kind of crazy trip. So, but thank you anyways for chatting with me. So, where should we begin?
Well, thanks for having me, Payal. It's really, I mean, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I think it'll be great.
Super. So a little bit about you, Aashti. I know a little bit about your background. I mean, I know that you're talking to me from Mumbai, and yep. I'm assuming that's home for you. But just a little background to you would be interesting.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Mumbai, and I live here right now. I spent 5 years in the US studying architecture at Cornell University, after which I worked in the US for a couple of years. And while I was working there, this sort of my interest in illustration really peaked. Even when I was in college, all of my architectural work was sort of, you know, treading this line between architecture and illustration. And that always interested me, you know, this gray area that exists between both the fields. So I started participating a lot in open architecture competitions, just, you know, putting my drawings out there. And all of my weekends were spent, you know, just kind of tinkering on these very, very detailed drawings. And then I decided to come back. I'm continuing my job with the same company that I was working with in the US, but just as like a hedge, you know, I said, oh, let me just, you know, start drawing a little bit more and putting it out there on social media, and we'll see where it goes. It was just sort of something to keep me accountable to myself, to keep drawing. And being back in Mumbai and, you know, in the art scene that exists in the city, I was very inspired to do that. And then it just kind of started there. And I mean, moral of the story is always put your work out there and you'll be surprised with the end results, because that's kind of what happened, you know.
That's amazing. That was like a turning point for you. So obviously, yeah, it was a calling which you know, which needed some kind of an outlet, and you got inspired when you came back to Mumbai. And yes, I do understand that the art in scene, as you put it, is very, very vibrant, and there's a lot of talent in the city. So, excuse me. So, as an illustrator, what do you focus on?
So essentially, my illustrations have kind of really evolved with time. And I was always asked this question of like, oh, what's your primary focus? Like, what's your style? And I could never quite answer it. I think after a lot of time and looking at my original work and how it's evolved into what it is today, I think my focus is really bringing this sort of architectural sensibility in a way to the illustrations. They come across as very fluid, very playful, which is not necessarily what one thinks of when they think of architectural representation. But the software that I use to even draw these illustrations is architecture software. So there's this sense of like line and form and composition that is very heavily informed by, my profession, my everyday life, what I've studied and, worked at for many years. So I think that in a way, that's my style and that's my focus, to really try to blend these two fields. I find that they're so similar, but still somehow they're kept so separate. So I kind of like this, as I said, this gray area for me. That's my interest.
Okay, so when did art really become a part of your life?
So my mom's an artist, actually. And my dad's an architect. So I grew up very much surrounded by these two things. My mom, when she was raising my sister and I, she used to work from home. So our house was, her studio. It was, for me at least as a kid, seeing her painting every day in the oddest of places, because I think, she was one of those, she was a great, example of a working mom, like, baby in one hand, like paintbrush in the other kind of vibe. So, how she kind of adapted my home space into her art space for me was something that was just as an environment, it just created something so inspiring and interesting for me. And now I work from home because I work remotely and everything. So I always think of that, that's the
Yeah,
image
so
that's
you think so that would be your early influence, right?
definitely,
Just being
definitely.
surrounded by art, and I'm aware of how talented your mom is. I've seen a lot of her art, and I know her personally as well. So, yeah, so I can understand how that would have influenced you, just seeing so much art around you. So, did you ever dabble in like art as in painting, or
So
have you?
I get asked this question a lot about, if I'm a painter, obviously because of my mom's influence. And oddly enough, my sister, she's an architect, but she's the painter. And I feel like there's something about, so how do I put this? So whenever we're asked, I say, no, I'm the drawer and she's the painter. I
Painter.
think
Okay, got it.
there's a distinction between those two. And like, even when I'm painting murals, I get asked this question, like, oh, you must be a painter, right? I'm like, no. Like, even when I'm painting, I'm bringing it's, everything is calculated, everything is very calibrated, because I think there's a certain free, and that's why even when people ask me if I'm an artist, I always say no. I think of myself more as an illustrator. And I think the
Illustrator.
difference for me is the fact how I approach artwork. Oh, illustrations, I'll stay away from the word artwork, is how an architect does. So for me, that's not fluid. It's not this, crazy, wild, abstract thing. Everything that I do comes with structure. But it's interesting, while I say that, I'm not one of those people who like sketches and researches and kind of plans, but somewhere in my mind, I need structure in my own way, in
Yeah.
my own weird, unique way to make
So,
that happen.
when you're illustrating, I understand that your influence is completely architecture. But where do you get the inspiration from? Is it, how, what's your process?
So my process is a strange one. I always get asked this, and whenever I do, like interviews or anything, people are like, oh, show us your early sketches. And if you look at my sketchbook, it's completely blank. There's a bunch of notes in there, but that's about it. So it's a very mental process for me. I think about it a lot before I actually start. So, you know, when I receive a brief, I'm constantly just, you know, thinking through ways of doing it. And for me, the process is, it's very tough for me to describe it because it's one of those things I just start and, you know, it keeps building. So I start with one small thing, something that just stands out to me, you know, like if there's a list of things, the first thing that really sticks out to me, I'll just start with that and just build out from there. It's a little bit like, I mean, I think the reason why I always come back to architecture is because like how architects build plans, right? It's done through a sketch, but you start with one place and kind of build out from there. You know, there's a starting point. And then you kind of, once you finish the whole thing, you work backwards, you know, you go back inwards
yeah.
and revise.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I go. It's a very non-glamorous.
No, but I think it's your, you know, the technical side of your brain that actually is where you start the process from, because that comes naturally to you. You know, I think
the funny thing is it's technical and it's artistic in an odd way, because my mom doesn't plan or sketch or do, I mean, abstract art generally, you know, there's a very minimal planning process. And, you know, if I ask her, I'm like, oh, you know, if I were to ask her this question, like, what's the inspiration behind this piece? It's not like she can tell me. It's just some sort of, you know, brainchild of hers that just came together. Like, there is thought. And there is this process that goes on internally, but she can't describe it either. So I often think like it's sort of this mix of how both my parents approach their work. You know, it's inherited or observed and learned from them.
Right.
So,
okay. You know, can you sort of explain the difference between mural and graffiti for people who, you know,
Sure.
sort of don't really understand the difference. I know personally, I know that they're two very different forms of creativity, but if you can just explain it to the people who are listening in, because you do a lot of murals, right?
I mean, I do I wouldn't say a lot, but I do a few. My mural making journey it was just 1 year ago that I painted my first one, and there's been a few since then, but yeah, I'm not sure if I'm the best person to answer it, but I'll give my best estimation, because I don't want to speak for graffiti artists, which I am not. I often associate graffiti with something that's a little bit more spontaneous. It's off the moment. It's off the place. So I wouldn't say that, I'm not sure if they plan, but I would assume that there's a little bit of less planning involved. It's a little bit grittier. It's a little bit more... I don't even know what this is, what I'm looking for, but it's not coming to me right now. It's I think just like off the place, whereas a mural, obviously it has to be contextual, but it's something that's sort of planned, painted, structured, created in a way, created in the mind of the artist very much in advance, exactly what I'm talking about right now. Not necessarily, I'm one of those, I severely plan, like everything is drawn, decided, colors picked, everything. I think graffiti is just a little bit more spontaneous than that.
Okay.
And you know, I think graffiti is a type of mural. I don't think murals are a type of graffiti. It's one of those.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So what you know, in India from like a long time ago, artists would paint posters, like movie posters, and you know, it could be on a wall, or it could be on a like a billboard, but a painted one. Has that changed? Are they being more because they're artists and they truly are artists, right? But I think they were never really given that kind of they were not credited as mm-hmm. artists, and they were probably just struggling and trying to make two ends meet. So do you think that there is a lot more awareness in India now, because you know, you do see a lot of murals in cities like Mumbai and Delhi, and from whatever I have read and heard. So is that something which has evolved over the years? Are these artists being given, you know, proper credit? Are they being Are they being paid better for what they're doing?
So, I mean, I completely agree. I think as a country, we have such a rich history of, you know, informal art, like signboard painting, movie posters, as you mentioned, you know, the back of trucks, everyone's familiar with the Honoke Please and all the graphics associated with it. And I think it's, for me, that has always been a source of inspiration, because it's the perfect melding in a way of two completely different fields, which is illustration and graphic design, you know, in this sort of architectural realm, because it's out there for people to see, like it's so public. I think this, what you speak about when you say the mural, the visible.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ability of murals and the existence of murals, I actually think that's fairly new. You go to other countries and, you know, mural painting is so, it's proliferated everywhere. And I think we're at a very exciting time in our country where it's just kind of taking off. Like, it's probably about 200, 300 murals here, which is not a lot when you think about it. And there's so much of an interest in it now, because we're almost behind the times, that it's an exciting space to be in, because you're at this, it's like the first person to use social media. Yeah, exactly. It's like the first person who discovered like Instagram or something like that. You know, you're at the start of something completely new and exciting, and there's so much room for it, and there's so much interest in it, and our public spaces could use it so much that, as I said, exciting space to be in. I think it's still growing, and like all things that grow, it's going to take some time for it to monetarily be recognized for what it is. Like I've had murals of mine painted in other countries, and that's, you know, people see it for as an opportunity to market, you know, they see it as an opportunity, like offices, like putting it in their spaces. And in that sense, you know, those artists earn a lot of money and their work is out there in that public space. I think right now it's still a very much a, in our country, it's a public good, you know, you're kind of doing it for the good of the country, which is always great, but I am hoping that soon enough, you know,
yeah, because I think, you know, the artists, their work should be recognized, not just visually, but also, you know, at the end of the day, everyone needs to live and survive, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, no, that's interesting. And I hope that, you know, artists, there's such a large community of extremely talented artists who are established, and if, you know, they can collectively make that effort and encourage unknown artists to or mural artists, or, you know, whatever the terminology is, I think it will definitely bring about a change, one in beautification, and two in helping the artists, you know, to develop and to grow and to be financially independent. So, I mean, I'm happy to hear that there is a movement.
It's definitely happening.
That's good. So, do you think, I know you're an illustrator, but somewhere, do you think that art has the ability to transform lives? And also kind of, you know, bring about social change?
I've always thought that personally, and maybe it's because I mean, Mumbai has so many, art festivals and things, and there's, I mean, it were quite well placed in the country relative to other cities in how much public art exists and how much free art exists. I think that's the critical point here. It's not, associated with luxury, or anyone can come and see it. And I think that is something I've grown up around, and that ethos is something that I've always believed in. So I mean, I'm hoping that there will be this shift where other people recognize how important it is to society. Obviously, it's a feel-good thing at the most basic level. You look at it, you feel good. But there's also this inherent pride that you feel and a sense of belonging, I think, when you see art that you identify with. And when I was painting with Start India and the Goethe Institute in Chennai, we were painting in Kannaginagar, which is basically the la one of the largest, if not the largest, resettlement community for the victims of the tsunami in Chennai. So what tends to happen is that, these people who live in these homes, A, it creates this public space automatically. You paint on a wall, it creates a place where people can gather, and that automatically, creating a public space where people flock to, it creates a sense of safety, a sense of community, obviously, but a sense of safety as well, safety in numbers kind of situation. But also the people who live in those homes, and their homes are these contested spaces because it's not what where they thought they would be. It's not something that they necessarily feel a sense of belonging, with, because it's associated with some sort of tragedy or move or displacement. So I think it creates like a sense of pride. You have something on your walls that belongs to you as much as it belongs to the artist, as much as it belongs to the organization who's paid for it. So I think there is so much room to create identity in a country that, and that's why I said it's at the forefront of this mural movement. So the chance to create new identities that are interesting and haven't existed before, I think it's very exciting. And I think people are really tapping into that, which is good to see.
That's interesting. And so it does, in your opinion as well, help in bringing about social change.
Definitely. Like Sassoon Docks, for example, I just painted there again with Start India, and it's one of those I've lived in Mumbai my entire life, and I've never been to Sassoon Docks, which is crazy to me. It's such a fantastic little piece of history that has just been preserved almost, I mean, as perfectly as it can be, without any great attention or heritage attention, or very heavy preservation efforts. It's this little figment of history, and I find that. And obviously, I painted there, so I was there all the time. But the types of crowds these places attract, I'm sure 85% of those people have never been to Sassoon Docks. So not only like is it drawing attention to a place that really does need it, they need support, they need help in to ensure that they don't get completely, obliterated, because people are obviously like, you Google Sassoon Docks and everything, every article. This is one of the things when I was researching or looking into it, and trying to explore themes that I wanted to paint. Every single article talks about the redevelopment of Sassoon Docks, like, oh, it should be this, it should be these high-rise buildings. Here are some conceptual renderings of the area. There is nothing that
And
talks
if you
about
can just
them.
very quickly for, a lot of people who don't know and who are not aware of Sassoon Docks, if you could just very quickly, describe what Sassoon Docks really is.
So Sassoon Docks in Mumbai is like a historical dock. It was one of the most successful ports during the British colonial era in off India. It's also not alone. The entire eastern edge of the city, in fact, is made up of, I think, about 13 to 14. The numbers are vague. Like an entire, it's a chain of docks that connect to one another, that form such a pivotal part of our development as a country. And now, obviously, the trade and things have changed. There are issues with the dock that have come up with modernization. Certain ships with the tide, it doesn't work. There's another port that's been created, across the water. So that's a little bit more suited to large scale commercial activities. So obviously the docks are still heavily occupied, they're still used a lot for fishing populations, but they're, considered more underprivileged, or so a lot of the structures have fallen into disrepair. There's, you know, people are trying to take it over. The development of the city is crazy at this point. The fight for space is something we've always had, but it's never been quite as intense as it is right now. So that kind of land is just, you know, prized by people. But
so you think that this particular festival has actually got a lot of people who would normally not step into Sassoon Docks to actually come and see what it is. So in that sense, again, art has been instrumental in actually bringing out the plight of Sassoon Docks and, you know, and the community of fishermen, women who live there, right? So, or,
definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting. I think a lot more of this needs to happen. And art clearly has a huge influence in bringing about change. I personally believe in it as well. So, you know, did you kind of confirm that for me? So before, you know, signing off, just very quickly, does your art, your illustrations, to be
you can use either word, I don't mind.
Does it in any way represent something about you personally?
It's a very tough question for me personally, because I think I try to keep myself as out of it as I can. And I also think that's why, I mean, I know I've played up this distinction between artist and illustrator.
Yeah.
And the reason why I do it is, I think, because I make a conscious choice to keep myself out of it in as much as I can. I don't think anyone can fully do that, but I think illustrators to some extent can. I think the murals are where that really, that's really changed for me, because there's a, it's not only, obviously, there's elements of every person and every design, but murals are so hands-on and they're literally a labor. Like, I feel like they're a labor of my love. Like, I look at them and I feel like they're my child, you know, it's that kind of attachment to those. And it's one of the only things I think I've ever worked on in my life. I'm not even, you know, since my childhood, that I've looked at, and I've truly felt the sense of awe every time I've gone back. So I think if someone wants to see a piece of me, definitely take a look at any of the murals I've done. But I can't tell, unfortunately, I can't tell you what it is. Like, it's just, it's like,
it's just something, like, which,
yeah, it's just something from inside me that's on there that I can see when I look at it, and like people who know me can see it. So it must be there, because
I'm sure it is. Yeah. You know, you, while I was researching you, clearly I saw, you know, the talent that you have, and yeah, and you definitely, now that you've found a different way of expression through murals, which is something that you haven't done in the past, I think, you know, that's great. Because I think painting, architecture, sculpting, these are all pillars of something that kind of makes up the term visual arts, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of these are the multiple pillars. Yeah. So, you know, so you've I think you can transcend from one to the other.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty of visual arts. And you clearly are going places. So
and I do find that, like, at least the artists that I gravitate towards are the ones who've kind of, you know, done that. So before I was even in architecture, you know, when I was just, as you said, like, what were your influences when you were a child? Like, everything that I was attracted to was these pieces that were kind of both or many things at once, you know. That's so, and because I feel like that's me, like, inside I'm like many things at the same time. So maybe that answers your question. That's what I tried to bring to things, you know. It's this sort of impression of, it's not what it seems.
Yeah.
This, this, no, that's, kind
That's
approach.
yeah, multi-layered. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Thank you so much, Ashti. I've really
Thank you,
enjoyed
Mile. I
this
really appreciate it.
conversation. And yeah, and you know, the next time I'm in Mumbai, hopefully we can have a quick catch up.
That would be great. I'd really love that. Thank you so much. Your questions were really insightful. I was like answering them. I always like answering questions that make me think about myself and how I'm thinking. Because
yeah. Because otherwise, you know, it's which is what I enjoy about my process is that I don't like it to be a Q&A. I like it to be as natural and as conversational as possible, because then I feel like I'm also able to bring out the guests, you know.
Yeah.
So many guests have said to me that they, you know, suddenly they're introspecting and saying, oh my God, why did I not think of that? So, but if it's a Q&A, then it's very curated and it just becomes very, very like, you know, it's scripted. And I think that part of it is not my process at all. So I'm happy that, you know, you enjoyed the conversation
as much as I did.
So you take care and,
thank you.
And good luck. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Pyle signing off.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.